Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCentral.com.
Rick James. The milk's gone bad, my friend.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, and it is a celebration, bitches, because it is episode 200. 200 of these. Oh, my God. I never thought that when I started this thing with my buddy Adam and roommate Adam that I would do 200 of these. Sweet God. And anyone who's stuck around for that long, bless your heart. My goodness, you must be a glutton for punishment, I tell you. But welcome to the show, folks. This is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 200. Heard right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Good to have you back. Man, 200 of these goddamn things. It really is hard to fathom how it's continued to keep going this long. You can't really celebrate, you know, 200, because it's, I don't know, it's just kind of hacky. Like, the next one would maybe be 1,000 that you would kind of get to. But it's just a nice round number, 200. So I at least want to acknowledge the fact that there's been 200 of these. That's like over 4 years now of doing these things. So it took me about 4 years to do 200. So in another 8 years, I'll be good at this around that time. Maybe 10. 8 to 10 years, I'll actually be good at this. I'm looking forward to that, for that day when I can say that I'm actually semi-good at what I like to do. That's going to be a fine day. You know, it's 10,000 hours, that whole thing. Welcome to the show, folks. We got a good show this week. Danny Watkins is a stand-up comedian here in the area. He's got a crazy story. I thought he was just kind of a nerd because every time I saw him, he wore Superman t-shirts, but he has a story of why he always wears a Superman t-shirt. So he's going to tell us about that momentarily. First, I want to say thank you to our sponsors, as always. Mr. Joe, Tap House 61, taphouse61.com. Check it out, 2061 Central Avenue. Check out the comedy show coming up on the 23rd of September here. We got a great show with Johnny B., Jonas Presendue, and Rachel Rowan. Make sure you come check it out on the 23rd. It is free. Get all your info at hmbradio.com. And if you click the events page, all the info is there. But it is free. Just come in and hang, get a beer. Let's party. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah, go in and that's pretty much the only place I hang is Tap House 61. If I'm going out, I don't go out anymore. But when I do, it's at Tap House 61, and for a good reason. It's a fun place. So go check it out, would you? Also, thank you to Truvi Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, here in St. Petersburg. The best hair cutter that I know of is Christy Parker. She's the only one who touches my hair. She does it once every 4 years, and I'm always happy with the results. So make sure you go check her out at Truvi. That's T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. You can get the info to make an appointment. You can make an appointment online. This is the 21st century, folks. You can do whatever you want just from the computer. You can't get your hair cut or nails painted or whatever you know, through the computer yet, but I'm sure that'll be here momentarily. And also, if your dog's a jerk, folks, why? You know, this is a dog town. We don't need jerky dogs just running around causing mayhem wherever they go. Make sure you get it trained. And I know there's just a person to do that. Christine at K9Holistics.com. K, the number 9, Holistics.com. She'll teach you how to speak dog. So you can say, hey, jerk, knock it off. And the dog will be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could communicate with me. And be like, yeah, well, Christine taught me, okay? So you need to knock it off. Quit it. All right, sorry. So she'll teach you how to talk dog and how to control your stupid animal. So make sure you go see her free consultations. K, the number 9, holistics.com. Thank you to those people very much. This is completely sponsor supported, and you know, check out these local businesses who are helping us out because we appreciate them very much. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, you can call me at 813-693-2124. Or if you just want to say what's up, you can also do that. You can text that number. You can leave a voicemail. You know, it's the 21st century again. You can do whatever you want. Or you can email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. That's radio STPETE. You can always go to hmbradio.com. There's a contact section on the top bar of that website, and it will lead you to all those ways of communication, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, home_made_man. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram there. Really getting a hard time from Johnny B about my Twitter handle. But at this point, I mean, I've had it for so long, I've kind of, you know, I've stuff with that on it. I can't just change it because I got stuff with it on it, like stickers. And if you want some, let me send you some stickers. Send me an email, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I will put some in the mail for free. That's right. I know you don't want me to have in your mailing address, but I swear I won't come to your house. So you have my word on it. But I do want to send you some stickers. So do that. Make sure you like the Facebook page, HMB Radio on Facebook, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, and Radio St. Pete, Radio STPET. Like those pages to keep up to date. Subscribe. You know the deal, folks. We do this every week. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay. It'll pop right up. It's got a nice, tie-dye, really loud banner with the St. Petersburg Tower that's in there. You'll be able to recognize it. And I did notice it's moving up the spots on the iTunes charts there when I searched Tampa Bay. It's moving on up, so subscribe, give me a like, a review. Really helps us out and keeps us on task here. So leave a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. 200 of these, my God. I'm already out of breath. Been out of breath for a long time. Still keeping up with the running. I'm doing my running thing 4 days a week, getting up early. It is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but the best thing in the world when I'm finished. I've never felt a joy like stopping running in the morning. It's a really good feeling. Take a cold shower. Oh, it's going to be lovely. As much as I hate the heat, I'm really not looking forward to February 1st when it's going to be like 40 degrees because I'm very particular now where I like my temperature. 75 during the day, 55 at night. That's where I'm comfortable. Anything else, I'm freezing or I'm sweating miserably. So yeah, it's not good because pretty much I think the only place I can get that weather is San Diego, and Billy does not have that sort of dough right now and probably ever. So that's an issue, but I'm keeping up with it and, you know, doing my thing. What else do I want to talk about? There's this movement here in Tampa Bay, the Justin Pawlowski, the old WDAE personality, now doing a great podcast, Bucks Uncensored. Check it out if you haven't, because it is pretty good. But he started this movement called the Stick Carriers Movement, and Johnny B's a part of it. I get some firsthand knowledge into it, and this dude Kyle from Word of the Bay podcast posted this thing on Twitter where it's like, oh my God, the Stick Carriers have jumped ship. So the Stick Carriers are like the super fans, pretty much. They go to all the practices and, you know, whatever. And the person that was on the Stick Carriers Facebook page was mentioning about how they shouldn't wear white jerseys at home because you got to wear your team colors. And it was just petty as hell, super petty. And for lack of a better word, sorry, folks, a little bit gay. I think that whole thing is a little bit gay. It's off-putting to me when people are too much into anything. Star Wars or Disney, when they have all that stuff on their cars. I'm just like, get a life. I don't know. It's just, for some reason, it's off-putting to me. Maybe I'm just negative. That's definitely a possibility. So some dude called me out and tagged Justin Pawlowski and this other, I guess, head guy in the stick carrier things. And he messaged me back. And he goes, well, I guess I'm flaming. And then was like, are you just devoid of joy or something? What's your problem? And so I told him, you know, I just find it off-putting. I don't like when people are too into anything. And it's like Disney fans and sports fans, you don't really want to mess with their stuff because they're really rabid online. And this guy was pretty cool. He didn't really, you know, give me too much crap. But he let me have it. And he goes, don't you have any hobbies? And I really had to think about it. Nope, not really. I don't really have any hobbies. I'm work all the time, and I sleep, and occasional alcoholism is my hobby at this point. I try to just like have a few beers with some buddies when I have the time. So they kind of left it at that, and the guy's, well, I own four businesses, and you just gotta find the time. Maybe you're right, dude. I don't know. But it's just my opinion, so sorry, stick carriers. I know you're upset with me, but good luck in the season, you nerds, and I hope you have a great time. I certainly support having a hobby, because I don't have one. I don't get to have one right now. I don't manage my time well enough. And what else? The University of Tampa professor that was fired. That's right, folks, fired for a tweet. Yep, he tweeted that the Hurricane Harvey that decimated Houston, the floodwaters were insane. It dropped, I heard, 11 trillion tons of water, which is just insane. It made landfall and just sat there and just dumped a bunch of rain. Said that he doesn't believe in karma, but he believes that since that state voted GOP, that this was punishment for that. Stupid, really stupid opinion. But is it really a fireable offense? I don't really think so. It was a little frustrating to read that that UT decided to fire him. We have to be consistent with this stuff, folks. We have to support people's right to say stuff we don't like, whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? Like, it's really a fundamental right that we have that people are really trying hard to take away. And I think especially, you know, people don't understand that these laws that you want, you know, to silence people and shut people up can be used the opposite way. As this, you know, it seems like people on the left are really trying to shut down people on the right, and anybody really that's not, you know, a super progressive down, whether it's on college campuses or, you know, and now it's through violence. And so this guy made a dumb tweet about Republicans and he got fired. Not cool, man. We can't be doing this stuff. And we got to be consistent on it. We should support this dude, even though he's a freaking moron. Sorry, dude. Yeah, we should somebody sign a petition or something, start a petition or whatever, and I'll put my name on it, because you shouldn't be fired for saying dumb stuff on social media. Also, we got to be careful what you say on social media now and anywhere, which is, you know, unfortunate. I get. I mean, you don't have to, but you might get fired. And maybe you should get fired. That's always an option, too. I'm waiting. I've had my suspicion that my beliefs have had me terminated from little things. Nothing like major where it's really affecting my income, but I've had my suspicion with stuff. And maybe it's a good thing. You know, you don't want to be a part of organizations that are draining on society as a whole. But anyways, let's not fire people for saying stuff we don't like, okay? You can either turn the station, unfollow that person on Twitter if you want. That's kind of lame to do just because they say something you don't like. But there's ways of going about this where, you know, it's not going to affect their life and putting food in their mouths and a roof over their head. Let's stop being petty a-holes, okay? I'd really appreciate that. All right, so we got Danny Watkins on the show this week, number 200. Yeah, let's just do it. Let's get down to it. I had some other stuff. I'll save it for next week. Episode 200 of the Homemade Broadcast here on Radio St. Pete and HMBRadio.com. Danny Watkins.
Gotcha, gotcha.
You got it? Yeah. Is it work on that one side?
The mic.
The headphones
or the ear. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. Then if you can hear me, that's fine.
Yeah, I got to invest in, you know, obviously this isn't a high-tech operation here. We're getting by the skin of our teeth. But nonetheless, it's getting done.
There you go.
So I would just ask you, do you go by Danny, Daniel? And you just gave me the answer that I always give the people, which is, I don't care. Whatever you want.
Well, I honestly don't care. Daniel is what my mother called me. Dan is when I'm at work. So I like Danny.
Danny? Yeah. That's more cash, right. I think. More casual. I go by, because I always grew up, you know, William is my name. And then my mom and dad called me Bill. And then at school, you know, they would read the attendance, and they would say William, and then my friends started calling me Will for short.
Right.
So then I got all these different things, and I never know how to answer that question. I think people think I'm autistic because I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I prefer. I don't really care.
I don't care either. I'm whatever makes them happy, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Me too. Yeah. Just don't call me late for supper, as they say. Yeah. So Daniel Watkins is here this week. He's a stand-up comedian. I met him at Side Splitters. What was that? The Mike Calta thing, the first one a couple weeks ago?
Right. That was Mike Calta, the competition.
Yeah. Yep. And so I got to talking to you. I said, hey, you should come do my podcast. I know you've been a comedian here in the area for a long time. You just told me you were 50, which shocked me.
Actually, I'm 51.
51?
51.
Good Lord. You look great.
Thank you very much.
I would have never guessed that.
I've been doing comedy since 1990.
So that's, is that 27 years?
27 years ago.
Oh, my God.
But in the interim, I had to stop when I turned 40. Because at 40, I had a stroke is what I had.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I was unable to walk or talk for a very long time, so I've been doing comedy now for a little under 2 years.
Oh, my gosh. That was a long recovery then.
Long recovery.
So that's like almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years, yeah.
And what happened? Just out of the blue one day, just something snapped?
Well, hypertension runs in my family. My mom died from hypertension when I was 3. My brother died when he was 40. And my mom at 40 as well. I also lost my daughter at the age of 25, all to hypertension.
Oh, my God.
So when I went to the hospital, the doctor was telling my wife, you know, it's a possibility you might not be able to take them home.
Mm-hmm.
But I had things to do, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah,
and that's what I told him. Hey, man, I can't stay here. I got things to do.
What happened? Like, when did you know something was wrong when it happened?
Well, yeah, I was drinking beer in my garage, which is maybe 102 degrees. And what happened was I start slurring my speech. And I went into look in the mirror, and my face had dropped. At that time, you know, I didn't realize it was a stroke because I've never had one. But what I did is I went to bed early, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I woke up, and it was worse because my whole left side shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm brushing my teeth. You know, think I'm brushing my teeth, but
you're
brushing
your eyebrows?
Yeah, scraping my eyebrows. I'm like, whoa, this say. Yeah, so.
I mean, did you feel anything, like, in your mind? Did anything feel different?
Well, when it first happened, I heard, like, a ringing in my ear. You know, I thought, I asked my wife, do you hear some ringing? And she says, no, that's all in your head. And I couldn't put two and two together. You know, the next morning when I looked in the mirror, I actually realized the damage it had done.
Mm-hmm. So. And, I mean, it got progressively worse.
Progressively worse.
You went to the hospital and
couldn't walk, couldn't talk for a very long time, you know. And people look at me now, and that's the reason I wear my Superman shirts, you know what I mean?
I was going to ask you about that. Every time I see you, you got a Superman shirt on.
That's the reason I do it, you know. Again, losing family members, being there, being in that same position myself, and being able to walk and talk, you know, it's a miracle.
Yeah. Was there a time where you thought just, I'd rather be dead, or I'm gonna die, or
oh yeah, you know, it's hard, you know, depending on other people to do for you. You know what I mean? And I was at that point, you know, they put me in a corner and just feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
But I exercised. I did everything I had to do. Doctors periodically and, you know, whenever my appointment was. And they could. Today I'll sit down with my doctor and he can't believe I'm the same guy that came to him 10 years ago.
Were you, like, heavier back then or?
Exact same weight.
Exact same weight.
Exact same weight.
Wow. So I would imagine that would be a comedian's worst nightmare is not being able to talk. How long were you unable to speak?
3 years.
Holy crap.
3 years.
Did you find a way to communicate? Was there some sort of unwritten, unseen language?
Well, yeah. I talked, but you just couldn't understand me.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, like I'll speak and, you know, sometimes I couldn't write. So it was hard for me to communicate. But my wife, you know, that's my rock. She willed me and getting better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's such a long journey. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, like, I can't believe, I mean, I'm 32, which is not a long time, but I was just thinking about how crazy things, you know, were when you were a kid. You think back, like, oh, I remember, I was thinking about those, The More You Know commercials. Remember those NBC PSAs?
Yeah, I remember that.
And then I was like, oh my God, that was like 25 years ago when those were on TV. That's insane. And then like when you think about when you're a kid, like, and somebody would talk about the 60s or something, they'd be like, I can't even fathom that in my mind. That doesn't even exist to me. But that's how my mom was talking about the 60s, you know, back then.
Right.
And now I'm like thinking about the 90s back then. That's insane. That's 10 years. Oh, I brought that up because 10 years of recovery, that's a big percentage of your life that was spent recovering from this.
Well, you know, I feel like this. You know, I'm on a journey. You know, when I started out with some very famous comedians now. You know, they're famous now. And I believe that everything happens for a reason. And then I also believe that it's always timing. You know what I mean? So no matter what I do, as long as I continue to do what I do, the success either would have came then or it's going to come later, if that
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, sure. So. I mean, you always want to, I mean, I guess the power of positivity, thinking positive, and just knowing what you can control and what you can't. I mean, that's really the big key. I saw this, I think I told this story a few times, but I remember I knew this girl, Holly, in college, and I had a crush on her. So I used to just try to hang out with her. Yeah, you showed me that. That's Kevin James and who else?
Adam Ferrar,
yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. You showed me that pic. But I remember this girl, Holly, right? So I had a crush on her. I was just trying to hang out with her. And so one day, I'm at the beach with my buddy. This is 10 years ago now. This is insane. And she calls and says, hey, I got this invitation to go over to this person's house. I don't even really know him, but they hired one of these Indian, you know, gurus and he's just going to give a talk and do a Q&A after. And I was hammered, drunk, drinking on the beach. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. Sure. Sounds great. And I didn't really expect to get anything out of it particularly. But the big thing I took away from it is he says, you know, here in America, you're so worried about time. And if you get stuck in traffic, you get angry about getting stuck in traffic because, you know, you're beeping the horn, but there's nothing, literally nothing you can do about that.
Nothing.
And that just was like, whoa, that was like a big game changer in my life. So you can only control really what's in your, what you can. And you can't get upset about what you can't.
Whether I'm late or whether I'm on time, you know, I was a little late for the interview today. Everything is timed. You know what I mean? Everything isn't, I can rush all I want. But like you said, if there's an accident, as a person, I'm thinking about myself, but you don't know what happened. Somebody might have lost their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I believe in timing. Mm-hmm. You know, I try not to dwell, as you said, I'm always 90% of the time I'm positive. And, you know, when I feel negative, all I have to do is remember those days that I couldn't even walk or talk. You know,
I would definitely give you some appreciation for what you have. That probably more than anything else.
And it also, you know, it puts things in its proper perspective. You know, I didn't even have to be here. When I started comedy years ago, I used to be nervous every time I got on stage. When I got back this time, I was no longer nervous. I was no longer afraid. you know, I've seen death. What's
more is there to be afraid of at that point? Do you think, I always kind of thought maybe that was a good thing, though, if you have these little butterflies, because if you don't, I don't know, it just shows that you care, almost, that you don't fail. And it, I guess it's more this audience, these people, you don't want to waste their time, you want to be entertaining to them. So it, I feel like it's maybe almost an advantage if you're a little on edge.
Well, you see, you start to understand your position in life. You know, I was put here to make people laugh, and that's the truth. You know, everybody wants to become famous, and of course I do too, maybe later down the road, but my goal is, even tonight I'm at a, I'm not trying to plug in Coconuts, but tonight I'm at Coconuts, and when I get up on that stage, all I want is so powerful that I can write something that people can get out there and enjoy and laugh. You know what I mean? Laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Danny Watkins is on the HMB this week. So when did you decide that I'm going to be a comedian? This is what I want to pursue with my life.
I'm not sure if I should tell a story.
Absolutely, you should. That's definitely yes when people say that.
1989, I was in a New York correctional facility.
Okay.
And they played for us. They played for us Eddie Murphy, you know, the reruns. And I said to myself, you know, I can do that. So what I did is I had a year and a half to write. So I'm writing, and I got a seven-day furlough. And on my seven-day furlough, I went to this comedy club in Long Island. And I performed. I did very well. That's when, I don't know if you're familiar with Adam Ferrara.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he seen me. He said, when we went to high school together, he's like, dude, you need to do this for a living. So once I was released, I did comedy strong for like 3 years. And then I would take work just, I would pick and choose because I was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came down to Florida, my intentions were to proceed with it and to go further. But again, like maybe 2 years after I moved here, I had the stroke. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it put everything in its proper perspective.
When you decided after your recovery, I think I'm ready to get back up there again, how long before you decided and then actually doing it?
Well, I believe that was like close to 6 months because with comedy, it's easy. I can write, you know what I mean? But with having a stroke, you also have to be able to remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have... I believe I have almost 40 minutes worth of comedy, but 30 minutes of that comedy can I remember, solidly remember, mm-hmm. and get up and do.
Yeah.
So this time around, I'm not rushing. You know, I take every day in stride. I take it for what it's worth. I enjoy every show that I'm at, and I'm not in a rush to be that headliner anymore. You
right.
know? It's going to come. It's going to come, so why not enjoy the journey?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, people say they want to do things, but do they really? Because they stop after a period of time. I've had people even say, hey, I'd love to do a podcast. And I say, oh, I have all the stuff. You know, you can feel free to use my stuff. I'll help you out. And then they do it for a little while, and then I don't hear from them anymore.
Well, with that, there are dreamers and there are doers. A person can tell me they want to be a rocket scientist. That's fine. Until I see you put some effort towards that and actually make some steps towards that, then it's just a dream.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've met thousands and thousands of comedians. Some you see in it for a long haul, and some you don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got friends who never make it to the big lights, you know, but they're fine with that. They just enjoy making people laugh. That's what they were sent here to do, and that's what they do.
Yeah. So you were in prison. The year and a half is prison.
Yeah.
Okay, over a year, right?
Prison, yeah, I was in prison.
What was prison like?
What, you want me to tell you the Bubba story?
No, I just want to know. I think it's like some of it's over-exaggerated. I have a buddy of mine's brother is in prison.
Okay.
And he has told me some horrific stuff. But I wonder, what was it like?
Well,
what was
I'll
your experience?
I'll tell you, they have three classifications in prisons. They have medium, maximum, and low risk. I was in low risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was charged with possession and sales of a controlled substance. Again, I was like 19, I believe, 19, 20. And I wound up in jail, and the thing was with jail, and I definitely don't boast in jail, boast about jail, but you meet some pretty cool people. A couple of people say they never did what they did.
Yeah.
A few people are remorseful for what they did, and then you got the kind that just don't care. The fortunate thing for me is I was in the low minimum, low security, so everyone had to be on their best behavior in order to get out mm-hmm. when they were supposed to get out. So that was the benefit of me. And, of course, you know, I was in a bad situation, but my goal was to make this bad situation a positive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I did, you know.
So, you did the full year and a half and then...
No, actually what I did was I did, because I was on good behavior, I did 9 months incarcerated, and then in New York they had a work release program. So I stayed in a facility 5 days a week, go to work every day, mm-hmm. and then on a weekend you were allowed to go.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit... What percentage of guys that were in there needed to be there?
All of them.
Really? All of them? Even, like, for... I mean, because, like, for drug stuff, I think that's dumb. I don't think people should go to prison for drugs.
Well, I'll tell you. I knew this guy. His name was Robin. And I seen him after... I was locked up with him, but I haven't seen him for, like, 5 years. I said, hey, man, when did you get arrested? He told me I wasn't arrested. I was rescued. You know what I mean? Because he couldn't quit the drugs.
Yeah.
And that little time that he spent in there got him off the drugs. So when a person asked me how many, I needed to be there. You know what I mean? Because it changed my whole way of thinking. You know, I couldn't live like that. And then when I went in, my daughter, at that time, she was like 9 months or 10 months. And they tell you when you get locked up, 90% of you will be back. Not me.
That was it.
I've never been back since.
Yeah, that's good, man. It's not a good place to be, no. I'm sure. That from the stories I've heard from my buddy's brother, it's horrific. But so, yeah, that's good. So, what did you – you spend a lot of time writing in there, and that's how you started, you said?
That's exactly how I started.
When you were recovering from the stroke, were you writing then, or were you just thinking about getting better at that point?
I was just concentrating on – believe it or not, when you go to sleep, you're not sure if you're going to wake up the next morning. That's when you realize, and I'm a firm believer in God, that's when you realize, you know, we were talking, you have no control. You have zero control if you wake up in the morning. So I'd go to bed every night and say my prayers just to pray that I can wake up and see another day. Mm-hmm. And as the cool part was, the journey speaking again, you know, my memory started coming back because I lost my memory. I'd be sitting in checkers, and I'm wondering how I got here.
Oh, jeez. Did you recognize your family and stuff, too? Were they gone
I recognized too? The family, but I didn't. You could put me in a situation, and I couldn't even remember how I got in a situation. So, I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody in the world. But then again, you know, it's a story for the survivors that there is an opportunity that you can get better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I would imagine that's affected your comedy. Is that, how would you describe, you know, your comedy?
Well, my comedy, I just started recently writing about the stroke because I felt it was a delicate situation. My comedy is more or less my life story, you know. And I, of course, I make it funny. You know, I was born in Wyandanch, Long Island, which is the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad married my stepmom when I was 7, and I moved up to a prestigious neighborhood in Huntington, Long Island. And we were the only black family in the neighborhood. So, and that's, believe it or not, that's when I started not writing, but being funny just to let the kids, you know, to be accepted by the kids.
Right, right, right.
So that it was, I'm not sure of the words I'm looking for, but it was a change, you know, living in an all-black neighborhood to moving to an all-white neighborhood.
Sure.
So what's really crazy is when my dad died when I was 13, I had to move back to the ghetto. And that was a real culture shock because now I speak proper English. No, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, people I got friends, black, white, Puerto Rican, gay, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. But people treat you differently if you're in a ghetto and you speak better than they do.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, what do you think, you're better than me? Mm-hmm. That's not the case. I just learned how to speak proper.
Yeah.
You know, I was raised differently.
Well, that's kind of a cultural, it's a way to stick it to society, right? Because you're talking differently. You got your own culture. You got your subculture here. And, as a white person, I don't really know what's going on over there. And I don't want to tell you, and you don't want to know.
Right.
And it's just a way to stick it to the power, I guess.
Well, you know, I consider myself, and I hate to say this, but this is the way I see myself as a chameleon. I'm able to adapt in any environment that I'm in. You know, and in order to survive, in order to live peacefully, I had to do that. You know, when I was in the black neighborhood, I had to be a little rougher. When I was in an all-white neighborhood, I had to speak proper. You know, I'll apply for a job today, and the guy on the phone doesn't know Daniel Watkins. That sounds like a white man's name.
All right.
You know, so they don't know who they're talking to until they actually see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost a lot of jobs like that.
Oh, really? Oh, no. That's not good. Do you have any gigs coming up, like, soon?
Well, tonight I'll be at Coconuts.
That's why I won't come out till like, a week and a half.
Okay, cool. A week and a half, I'll...
You're always at Side Split. Every time I'm there, you're
Side
there.
Split is, Brian Thompson, BT, he treats me real good over there. I'm there a lot. I do a lot of open mic. I'm doing a lot of guest spots. Damn, I can't see that.
Features?
No, I'm not the feature. The opener.
Oh, okay. Host.
I'll get a lot of work out of Brian with that. Also, on the 30th, I'll be down in Fort Myers at Laughing Comedy. Mm-hmm. And then on the 6th, I forgot the gentleman's name, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to be somewhere in Clearwater. I can keep you updated with that.
Okay. Yeah, but, we'll put it in the description so people can find it.
Right.
So I want to get goofy and just talk about news stories I saw today, because why not?
Why not?
76% of people admitted that they have sexted in their lifetime.
Wow.
And I think that the other, 24% are liars and your grandmother. Because I'm pretty sure everybody has at this point. Have you ever sexted in your life, Danny?
No.
Get out of here.
I'm 51. When I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones, man.
Yeah, but they've been around like 15 years now. Come on, yeah.
Well,
iPhone.
I only had mine
come out 10
five.
Years ago.
I had mine for five.
Yeah, but you got a wife. You haven't been on the road and been like... No. Hey, what's up? Download Snapchat. You should try it. It's fun. That's pretty much, I think I prefer it over real interaction at this point.
Well, since you...
It's very sad.
Since you should... since you recommend it.
Give it a shot.
I'm going to try it tonight.
Just take a snap, pull it out, and send it to your wife and see what happens.
Who is this?
Yeah, I think you should try it. I've had great experiences with it. It's a crazy time. I'm a single guy.
Right.
It's I don't think I want to be with anybody, but you get lonely, right?
But.
So this, like, you could just sext people and get what you need. It's not human interaction, but it is and it isn't. It's this weird, like, crossbreed.
Well, here you go. I've been with my wife since I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married 29 years.
Wow.
I know people that commit murder don't do this kind of time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so, you know, as this modern technology, remember now, my wife is 48.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
some things are better left unsaid.
Yeah, it's, I worry about what the future of romance is going to be like. Everything's just coming out online. You know, you have all these apps now. You got... You know, the Snapchat, the sexting now. And I think the biggest thing I like about it is going to sound terrible. You don't have to hang out with them afterwards. I can just go about my life again. Because there's something, like, it's fair, like, if they're going to give you gratification sexually, you have to give them some time, right? Otherwise, they're just whores at that point.
Yeah.
And this way, you don't have to do you could just go about your day.
Well, that's giving me another reason. Well, I got to re-up on my Viagra if I gave you that. No, seriously. I mean, did I tell you I'm 51?
Yeah, yeah. Can I have some? I want to try some out. Yeah.
Sure.
Get some in your pocket for real.
You never leave home without it.
What?
You never know. You know.
Oh, my God. That's it right there.
My wife might call me tonight and say, listen, honey, after the show.
Yeah, be ready to go. Well, that's good. You're still banging your wife at 51, though.
Yes, I am.
Good for you, man.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's important. That's good stuff. What's good advice to keep a relationship going that long?
Always remember, she's right. No matter what. If you don't want
Too stubborn for that. I can't do that because if she's wrong, then I got to fight with you.
Then you'll stay lonely. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. It took me a while to realize this. In 29 years, my wife hasn't been wrong once.
Wow. That's quite the streak.
What is
for some reason, I just can't believe that. That sounds insane.
Hey, listen, you know.
You seem like a very patient and easygoing guy, though. I don't think I'm as easygoing as you are.
Well, you know, marriage.
You just got it beaten out of you.
I'm conformed.
Yeah. Jeez.
Put your dreams in the garbage.
Oh, my God. No, that sounds terrible.
You know, when I was younger and I was doing my comedy, you know, I was handsome, you know, at that time. And my wife, I couldn't do a show unless if she came with me. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But. You know, now being 50 and I...
And I was just like, please leave.
Yeah.
We need some time apart.
We'll talk when you get back.
I think that's there's something to be said for that, though, because you do have you know, at first you really like this person. For the first year, I guess. Yeah. This is what I haven't been in a serious relationship in 5 years, really. So I've just been kind of doing my thing. But anyways, so the first year you're like, I love you. And I want to spend all this time with you. And then after a year, you're like, why don't we just not do that as much? I still want to do that, but maybe a couple times a week and not every time where I'm just spending all my time with you and not seeing my friends and not doing things that I needed to do. And you get caught up in it.
I'm going to tell you, here's the reason for me, love is that's the strongest force in the world, love. Okay, so we got that straight. So, but ever since I was 16, no matter what I did, she was there for me. You know, she's a straight trooper. I mean, if she did the stuff that I did, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then you realize, you know, no matter what, more than a wife, she's now my family, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know what absolutely. I'm saying? So right. When you get married and first, you know, you try to mesh families together and all, but no, this is something that happened naturally.
You create your own family.
Create your own family.
It's your own thing.
You know,
yeah.
And it's more than she's not just my wife, she's my best friend. You know, I won't tell her
Aww.
Everything. I won't tell her everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an idiot. But, you know, she's that person, when I needed to get bailed out, she was there. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, I mean, after doing that five or six times, then you realize, you know, this girl, she might like me. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, sometimes I look back on, girls that I've just not been nice to when I was in my earlier 20s, and I'm like, maybe that was the one. She was really nice to me and seemed to really like me a whole bunch. And, but yeah, I guess there's no regrets at this point. You just got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, keep moving forward. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm married. You're single. It doesn't matter. When the time is right, we were talking about timing earlier. When the time is right, you will know it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the special one for you. So.
Well, I tell you, like I said, I haven't been with somebody in 5 years. But when I got out of that last relationship, that's when I started doing all the things that I really wanted to do. I took that energy, that heartbreak, that misery, and turned it into the positive of starting this podcast and, you know, getting involved in the comedy scene and, you know, painting and all this stuff. And it's been a long road. I mean, that 5 years is not that long. And when I look back on it, I'm sure it'll be an instant. But, you know, it feels like a long time now that I'm in it and you're striving to get someplace, but things are happening now.
And you know the cool part? The cool part is during your journey, you're going to find somebody who has the same interests that you have. And it'll click. It's something, you know, love is something that you don't have to work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, to me, it's a gift from God.
I believe that too, because I've heard that, like, oh, it's work. Relationships are work. I'm like, I don't think that you're supposed to be, though. That doesn't sound right. It seems like it should just be organic.
Once you get the part down that she's always right, even if she's wrong, if you're lucky, once or twice a year, she'll admit and apologize. But if you have that understanding already, it makes the job a lot easier.
Right.
What do I get out of being right? The privilege of saying I was right? What do you get out of it?
No. It's not like getting anything out of it, but it just is. It's an objective truth, right? It just is. It's not like getting the joy out of being like, you're wrong. It just is. It just is.
But okay, now listen, if you're right, sooner or later, whether she knows it, whether she says it or not, she's going to like, he was right. She'll never admit it to you, but yeah, she'll be like,
yeah. Oh, so maybe in her head, yeah. She'll be like, but, and that's a satisfying. You'll know, at least she knows, and maybe on the outside, she may not admit to it,
that's
but she knows.
That's when you smile.
Fair
that's
enough.
When the smile comes.
That's good. I'm glad we figured this out today. Danny Watkins, thank you very much for coming to the Homemade Broadcast this week. Good luck and everything. I'm glad you're alive, man.
Hey, I'm glad I'm alive too, man. And hopefully I got, you asked me what I got coming up. November 5th, I got America's Got Talent.
Oh, cool.
So this is my second audition. The first time they told me, you know, what's the story? And I never told them this.
Tell them the story. It's a good story.
Yeah, it's a good story.
So. You got to have those. Every show like that has a crazy story. Right. So good luck to you, man.
Thank you very much, Will. Appreciate you.
All right, there you go, Daniel Watkins. Quite the episode, wasn't it, folks? Prison, death, but now we're back. Thank you very much for listening this week to the Homemade Broadcast here on Radio St. Pete. Make sure you check out hmbradio.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can get the contact form. If you want to get in touch with me, get some stickers, just email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Follow me on Twitter, home_made_man. I know that's kind of difficult, but it's not that hard. Come on. HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete, too. Radio STPETE on Instagram, Twitter, and follow them on Facebook, too. Same thing, Radio St. Pete, making it real easy for you. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned for Frank Rivera's Jazz Show coming to you from Dunedin, Florida, right from the music room, and the Indie Circuit coming up after that. If you're listening on podcasts, thanks a lot. Make sure you subscribe. Give me your 5-star rating. Only takes a second. It really helps us out. Thank you very much for listening, folks. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.